time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Paulie and Matt today, still a lot of guests coming up. Jeff Davis from Caesars in half an hour, how they're handling division winners and the confusion with the NHL. And he's a big hockey fan. Maybe get some picks from him coming up. Matthew Holt, president of U.S. Integrity. We'll give out some UFC picks before we get out of here. And in 5 minutes, we'll talk to Keith Smith, who's an NBA reporter. And they have a big meetings coming up today with Adam Silver and the owners. Matt, one college football story. Big news, actually. Georgia added another transfer quarterback yesterday when former USC starter JT Daniels announced on social media that he's joining Georgia for the upcoming season. Fromm goes to the NFL. They add former Wake Forest starter Jamie Newman in January. Newman's a graduate transfer. He'll be eligible to play immediately. Daniels is a redshirt sophomore, 3 years of eligibility remaining. After missing all but one game in 2019, he'll have to obtain a waiver to compete this coming season for the Bulldogs. So they could have a couple good options there at quarterback.
Yeah, Jamie Newman's going to be a Heisman candidate, you would think.
Yes.
If Georgia can finally get its offense off the ground. I mean, since Kirby Smart has been there, the Bulldogs are number two in the SEC in rushing yards per game, number 12 in passing yards per game. I think their play calling has been really conservative. Maybe that will change with Jamie Newman, like you said, transfer from Wake Forest. He's going to be the guy this year. JT Daniels coming off an injury. Yeah, he needs a waiver to play. I think he's best off sitting out the 2020 season and targeting 21 because it's going to be, I would assume it's Jamie Newman's team unless he gets hurt in fall practice or early in the season. But Newman's going to be, he's an exciting playmaker. I think that was a big pickup for Georgia. And then you would think JT Daniels in 21. He was beaten out by Keaton Slovis at USC, looking for a place to go. We'll see if Kirby Smart can find a way to open up that Georgia playbook.
Yeah, we led the show with this, and this was big news yesterday. Came down late last night. William Hill here in Nevada. William Hill is graded the division leaders as winners in the NHL. Here's the press release. Was this week's announcement that the regular season has officially ended. All regular season win total wagers are voided. That we knew. Mm-hmm. And this is just a great move from a PR standpoint. Additionally, for division futures, all the division leaders, Bruins, Capitals, Knights, and Blues, have been graded as winners. Wagers on teams that were second in their respective divisions, Lightning, Flyers, Avalanche, Oilers, have been refunded. Wagers on Ovechkin and Pasternak as leading regular season goal scorers will also be graded as winners. And I talked to the director of trading, Nick Bogdanovich. He said, I said, great move. He said, well, listen, three of the four divisions, look how close it was. St. Louis was only 2 points ahead of Colorado. Colorado had a game in hand. Washington was only 1 point up on Philly. And the Knights were only 3 points up on the Oilers. So that is a win-win for everybody. That if you had the ticket on the division leader, you're paid. And then if you happen to have the runner-up, you get a refund. And that's a great move by Joe Asher and Nick Bogdanovich at William Hill. And that was the press release that came down. That's a phenomenal work by them. Welcome in, Follow the Money, VSiN, Paulie Howard, Matt Youmans. We're talking about William Hill's decision to grade division leaders as winners last night and refund the second place teams that were in the divisions. And Matt, I like Nick's explanation. Three of these are so close. I mean, you don't know what Philadelphia was hot. They'd won 9 out of 10 and were only 1 point back against Washington. So if they played another week, who knows what was going to happen?
Yeah, no doubt about it. A few of those divisions were coin flips, and I think the key there is that William Hill is going to refund, like you said, those second-place finishers, right? So that's obviously a bonus for the hockey bettors.
All right, let's get into some NBA. We got a lot to go over here with Keith Smith. Keith Smith, NBA on Twitter, NBA reporter. Appreciate the time, Keith. And I saw you retweeted this from Kevin O'Connor. What did you think yesterday that on the conference call with the GMs, 75% voted for a play-in tournament to the final playoff seeds?
Yeah, that doesn't overly surprise me. I think that makes some sense there. I think I'm curious to know what all options were presented to them, because it looks like 75% voted for a play-in tournament versus 25% for the group stage World Cup style. I don't know if were they presented just the 16 teams that are currently in the playoffs. That part I haven't been able to figure out just yet for myself, but I know there are several teams that had won no part of the World Cup style.
Yes. So what do you think's gaining steam with some of these proposals? A lot of them are confusing, but there's so much, everyone has an idea, right? And what do you think is losing steam and maybe losing some momentum as far as all these plans?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Everybody has an idea. You talk to 10 people, you get 10 ideas. I will say, you know, what I have been able to put together is what's definitely losing steam is the idea of bringing all 30 teams in and trying to complete some part of the regular season. It seems like that's, you know, maybe all but off the table now. The two pieces that I keep hearing are the 16 teams that are in the playoffs currently, and there's enough of a spread in each conference that they don't feel bad if that's the direction they go. So that's one. And then the other is the 20 team version, where you allow those four teams that were in the chase in the Western Conference to come, and they play out some form of mini play-in tournament or round robin or whatever it is to try and make up the ground on the Grizzlies, give Memphis some form of advantage since they do have a 3-game lead right now, and then go from there.
What do you think of reseeding 1 through 16?
Yeah, that's been talked. There's a lot of teams that are not in favor of that. The Western Conference teams seem to be a little bit more in favor of it, where the Eastern Conference teams don't really want any part of it. I don't think that one's going to go very far. I don't think they're going to be able to get the necessary folks on board who are interested enough to do that. This is the year to try it, because the argument against it has always been the travel component. The teams that are always used as the example are Miami and Portland. They don't want them crisscrossing the country if they had to play, four times in 2 weeks to play a playoff series. But with everybody going to be in the same place at Walt Disney World in Florida, this would be the year to try it if they're ever going to give it a run.
Yes, I would agree with you on that. What do you expect today out of Silver and talking to the owners?
Everything sounds like today is just going to be, here are the different proposals on the table. From what I was told, they're going to go into, these are the ones that are under consideration, and really give them all of the detail in great detail of this is what it would look like, as well as some timing and dates around what that would look like for the rival in Florida, the remainder of the season. There's been some reporting that now for this training camp portion of the lead up, that they just want everybody to go to Florida and do that here. That's where I am. I am in Central Florida. So when I say here, that's why, so that is what they're, what one of the things that's out there. So I think it's going to be a lot of detail. I don't think we're going to have any decisions made. It sounds like those decisions will be made at some point next week. This is just about, here's all the information. So you're getting direct from us, from the NBA. Here's what's on the table. Think about this, and then we'll come back and we'll make decisions at some point at a later date.
Who's going to make the decisions, Keith? I'm waiting for Adam Silver to step up and actually show some authority here. He's been a great leader for the NBA, but I think it's the perception right now, it's kind of chaos. Like you say, you get 20 different voices, 20 different opinions on what the NBA should do with its playoff structure here, and I'd like to see Adam Silver step up. Is he going to be the guy, you think, who says, okay, this is going to be our playoff plan? How's this going to happen?
Yeah, in the end, he will be the deciding voice if need be. But he's going to give the teams a say. He's going to give the players some level of a say. But ultimately, it'll be the Board of Governors. They'll put it to a vote. And then I think if there's any kind of tiebreaker that needs to be done or anything, Adam Silver would do that. He's already owned. Someone is going to come out of this unhappy. That's just the reality of this.
Yep.
And you have to own that. You can't make all 30 teams happy in this situation and all, 500 plus players in the league. That's not going to be the case. So I think he's, very aware of this is, where we're headed and this is the direction we're going in. And if need be, he'll be the one who makes the ultimate decisions, and he'll take that on his shoulders.
There's going to be more than one team unhappy. I think there'll be a lot of people unhappy, but you just have to make a decision and stick with it and roll with it. I mean, right now, the NBA kind of looks like a Mickey Mouse operation, no pun intended, with Disney World. setting, but I want to see Adam Silver act. You know, NBA was the first league to shut it down. I'd like to see the NBA come out with a strong plan, kind of like the NHL did last week, and move forward. Keith, if one team would be upset by a 1-16 bracket where the East and West are all in the same pool, don't you think it's a little bit unfair to the Milwaukee Bucks? If you look at this bracket, where the Bucks would be the 1 seed and the Lakers are the 2, the Bucks would also have the Celtics as a 5, the Clippers as a 4 in the same bracket, and it's the Bucks might have to defeat the Clippers in a semifinal series and then face the Lakers in the finals. Is that a little bit unfair to the Bucks?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They are one of the teams that's against it. It's really those top teams in the East that don't like this setup because it makes their road to a potential run at the finals a lot harder because you're having to go through these other teams. So it's that's definitely the case. I think the Bucks are, you know, team number one that is, you know, saying, well, wait a minute, we've had this terrific regular season where we've been the best team in the league all year long. We've really earned this right to be the number one contender. Now you're going to make our path harder. So I think that's why the 1-16 seeding, I think they're going to find it very hard to gain the necessary traction to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any problems with what Lillard said originally about, listen, if they ask us to come back and there's not a play-in and we can't get in a play-in format, why are we just coming back for 5 games?
I didn't really have any problems with it because I think he is just speaking the truth. I know a lot of players feel the same way. Now, there are a lot of players who've said, hey, a rising tide lifts all boats. If us getting back gets, you know, more money coming back into the system and it's going to help everybody, then I understand it. But that was more about the team than necessarily individuals. I also think with Damian Lillard, I have to wonder if we think back to when it was first talked about playing games in empty arenas, LeBron James said, I'm not doing it. I won't play without the fans.
That's
within
right.
a day or two, he backtracked and said, you know, hey, it was a moment, I was speaking in the, heat of the moment and, I'm passionate and this is where it was. I kind of wonder if there's maybe a little bit of that in there with Damian Lillard too, but you can understand it from his perspective. If there's nothing to be gained for him as an individual there, minus, the financial implications, you have to, really start to think about, hey, I want to be healthy and ready to go for next year. So I understand where he's coming from.
Hey, I'm curious what you think. All right. So we're looking at the odds to win the finals and the Lakers and the Bucks and the Clippers are all at, 5-2 or 3-1. Any teams in the double digit odds range you think, Keith, might benefit from all this time off and kind of a helter skelter type of a playoff plan? Is there anybody in here as a long shot that you think might be live, whether it be the Rockets, the Celtics or whoever, the Heat, the Thunder, even, I don't know. Is there, this could be a wild playoff scenario with a lot of unpredictable elements. Is there a long shot team out there that you might like?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This could be, we don't know what some of these guys are going to look like when they get back and those kind of things. And that's definitely going to factor. And I think Boston could make a run at this. They're a young team. So there's a lot of thought out there that maybe some of the younger teams might be a little bit more, ready to go when things come back. I think the Rockets are a good call. That they were really, you could tell that they were playing well, but they were only playing, 7 or 8 guys in their rotation. And anytime time off their feet is looks good. Looks like James Harden from all the social media looks like he's in the best shape we maybe have ever seen him in. So that'll be interesting to see what that looks like. And then one team that keeps getting mentioned is Philadelphia. Now, they're mentioned as far as they're going to get Ben Simmons back healthy. They repeatedly said during the year, we're a playoff team. We're built for the playoffs. Watch out for us when we get there and those kind of things. But there's just as many people who say they were one of the absolute worst teams on the road in the league. Mm-hmm. Their home road splits were ridiculous. So no one's overly worried if they're not able to play any games in front of their home fans. What does that look like? But there's someone to keep an eye on as well.
Follow the money. Paulie Howard, Matt Youmans, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Keith Smith, our guest, NBA reporter at Keith Smith NBA on Twitter. We've heard July 25th thrown out there. Let's say that in the next week or so, or a couple of weeks, they come up with a plan. When do you think we'll see NBA games or NBA playoffs?
Yeah, late July, I think, is when we're really looking at this getting started. What it sounds like we're going to see here is Adam Silver, one thing that seems to be clear out of the Board of Governors, is going to go ahead and give teams the green light to recall their players. mandatorily recall him, no more of the voluntary. Now, that's not as big a deal as it may sound, because the voluntary attendance has been really, really good for those teams that are back. So it's not like they're forcing these guys to come back. I don't think it's going to be quite like that. So I think you're going to get that. That's going to allow them to kind of get everybody together, whether it's in the home facility or for those handful of teams that still haven't been allowed to open their facility. Maybe they gather somewhere else. Then that's going to give you basically a couple weeks to get a real good look at these guys. Then you've got your approximately 4 week long training camp, and that takes you, from mid-June to mid to late July, and then we're off and running with the season again.
It's interesting you talk about that time frame, and we're used to the Vegas Summer League. It's been out here for what, 15 years or longer. So Keith, the Summer League looks like it's going to be a complete scratch. And what about the NBA draft? What might be a time frame for the draft?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on with the draft. One of the things that seems like we're going to get with the NBA draft is it'll be pretty quick on the heels of the end of the season. Now, that always happens anyway. If the finals go a full seven games and we have a long playoffs, the NBA draft is always, within a week or so of those ending. And I think that's going to be what we see again. But what the teams are looking at is, well, what does the pre-draft process look like? When can we do workouts and meetings and medical checks of these players and the like? The medical check is, one of the key components of all of this. So I think that is, something that they're really pushing on. We need to be able to know that. But I think you're going to get the season end, the draft, in free agency, all in very short order, which is really not all that different than what it is in a normal year. It's just going to come at a different time. It's going to come, sometime in the early fall.
Yeah, because you had no NCAA tournament. You didn't have the workouts, the individual workouts. It's going to be a totally different scouting process, really, right, for the draft. I mean, if you had to handicap it right now, who would you say the top three picks are? We have odds up in Vegas on the NBA draft, and who will be the top pick? LaMelo Ball? Who else? Do you think James Wiseman? Who would be your favorite to be the number one pick?
You hit on two of them. I think, depending on who gets that number one pick and what does that look like, I think that'll factor in pretty considerably. But I think, LaMelo Ball, James Wiseman, Anthony Edwards, those are kind of the guys that seem to be most commonly mentioned in the top three as you talk to teams. And you're absolutely right. This draft, if there is no in-person workouts and those kind of things, it's really going to set aside those who get their work done early, and they do it during the regular season of the college basketball tournament. It was kind of a funny aside. I had, one executive tell me, I'm not upset that the NCAA tournament got canceled, because now I'm not going to have my owner, who doesn't watch all year, falling in love with a guy because he had a couple good tournament games and begging us to draft him. So that's, I think, the flip side of that. But the number one thing the teams are concerned about is the lack of medicals. That's what they are most concerned about, is their doctors and physicians, to this point have not had a chance to get a look at these kids. And that's something that they really, really want. Most are confident in what they've done from the scouting side so far.
All right. Interesting. I'll give you the Westgate Superbook numbers. Anthony Edwards out of Georgia, I like him a lot. He's the favorite, a plus 140 to be the top pick. Obi Toppin from Dayton, James Wiseman from Memphis, actually briefly in Memphis, at 7-2, plus 350. Actually, LaMelo Ball, the second choice at 3-1. So you got four guys there, essentially, Keith, in the running for the top pick. Anthony Edwards, a favorite at the Westgate Superbook.
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me. Those are the names we hear most common. I think Obi Toppin, that's probably a little higher. I think he's probably more in the 4-5 range from the sense I'm getting. He's a little older than those guys, and age does tend to factor in pretty heavily in terms of draft position. He's a good player, and I think he can come in and help a team right away. But I think those other guys, they've just going to be a little bit more upside towards them.
Thanks for a few minutes, Keith. Excellent job, and to stay safe. Thanks for getting up to talk to us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, guys. You all stay safe, you and yours.
All right. Keith Smith, NBA writer at Keith Smith NBA on Twitter. And just listening to Brian Windhorst's podcast yesterday, it's like he actually said it. He goes, well, the NBA's making it up as they go along.
You've had 10 weeks to figure out a plan, and you still have no idea how many playoff teams you want. Like I said, it feels like a Mickey Mouse operation.
Yeah. And And that's the other thing that's been said by many. It's like, well, if you talk to the, they're just going to say what's best for them. If they're out of it, they don't want to come back.
Right.
I mean, and what do you think the Spurs and Pelicans are going to say? Of course, they want some type of a play-in. So he's just wasting his time with that. Jeff Siegel's picks coming up next. We'll have In Pocket. And you won't believe what Jeff Passan said about the baseball season next. VSiN, Follow the Money, the Sports Betting Network. Jeff Davis from Caesars in 5 minutes, how they're handling the confusion or possible confusion with grading NHL bets, and Matthew Holt to talk UFC before we get out of here. All right, picks time. Here we go. Here are some recommendations from ExpressBet analyst Jeff Siegel, who likes two races at Santa Anita. In the fifth, he likes the 6 horse. The 5-year-old gelding continues to impress in morning workouts and switches to Ruben Fuentes, a very live rider lately for the John Sadler Barn. 5-2 on the morning line. In the 7th race, Jeff likes the number 1 horse, Custom for Carl. This filly was highly impressive, graduating over this course and distance in mid-May. Hasn't missed a beat in training since and looks primed for another major effort. While drawing the highly favorable rail post, she's 3-1 on the morning line. You can bet these races at First Bet, a new betting and handicapping product from ExpressBet. Visit first.com/bet for more info. That's 1st.com/bet. Use the promo code VSIN500, all one word. VSIN 500 to get a $10 free bet as soon as you sign up, plus receive up to a $500 bonus for wagering in your first 30 days. Again, that's first.com/bet. Those are Jeff's selections. Go get them, Jeff. I like Frankfurt, Wolfsburg over 2.5 tomorrow. It goes at 6:30 in the morning Pacific. Kelly and the guys put up a great graphic with all the what Frankfurt has played 10 straight overs. How do you put up a 2.5? It's over -150. Available at many spots. Westgate's got a 3. They played 10 straight overs. Since they came back, they've allowed 3, 5, and 3 goals. There's the last 10 results, as I'm all over it. 3-3, a winner a couple days ago. Saturday, they gave up 5 goals and lost 5-2. They came back, they lost 3-1. See, look at this, Matt. The opponent is getting the total themselves.
Yeah, and like you pointed out,
in most of these matches,
there are 3 games since Bundesliga returned, right? And the other 7 games are before the layoff in February and March. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's you have not seen a game with 3 goals or fewer. So I think the Westgate odds makers put this number at 3, which is, you're probably right, Paul. That's where it should be. So you have no problem weighing the $1.50 there over 2.5.
Yep, they played Wednesday. They played Tuesday. The total opened 3. It was bet down to 2.5, and it was a 3-3 final. Wow. Do you like anything, Matt, this weekend? Any UFC, anything you want to give out?
Not at the current time. I actually looked at this UFC card. I'm hoping Matthew Holt can put us on a play, maybe play or two in the final segment. Yeah. I listened to Lou Finicaro's analysis. I like Woodley, but I don't want to lay the price at 180, so I'm hoping maybe Matthew Holt has something on the undercard. Other than that, it's not a great sports weekend, Paul.
And I think he will, too. I think he'll do that. And also Jordan Sherwood, who we had on Wednesday. I like Mackenzie Dern inside the distance, which is $1.40. And she's been phenomenal with submissions. And I think that's the way to bet. She's a $4 favorite. Don't do that. Lay the $1.40 to win inside the distance. Okay, Jeff Passan. Now, look at this prop. There's a prop up globally. Here's the first tweet. Across baseball, hundreds of minor league players were cut yesterday and lost their jobs. Hundreds more will be released over the next week. In the end, upward of 1,000 players could see their baseball careers end. The minor leagues have simply been devastated. Wow. He said yesterday, it's going to come down to the owners. I believe when the players say we want to play, I believe it. I think there are some owners who don't. There are some owners who worry that playing is going to cost them too much. they're going to lose too much money, and they would rather punt on the 2020 season. That's a scary thing to hear, but that some owners would prefer to see the season canceled. There's a prop up that will, that it's $5. Yes, they'll have a season.
Look at that. There's no way. Crazy. There's no way I could lay the $5.
Oh, no way. No way.
Look at that split, -5 +3. I firmly believe what he said. I think there are several owners who don't want to play this season and say, hey, let's just come back in 2021. You got Scott Boras in the middle of this thing now. Scott Boras is telling super agent, telling players, hey, don't give in to the owners. You got all sorts of problems. I know from talking with the New York Post editor that their baseball writers are becoming much more pessimistic about a season happening, Paul. You know, I think the media has been rather optimistic for the most part about baseball. We're starting to see things turn for the negative here in the past week to 10 days where I'm starting to feel like we're not going to see a season. I would have to play the plus side of that prop.
I agree. I'm with you. Jeff Davis from Caesars up next. What happens when they have a dispute or they need a question answered? Do they call someone at the league with the NHL? Do they email? How are they going to grade division winners? And we'll ask them about the shenanigans in D.C., where each side's $1.18 vig. Dr. Jeff, and maybe he'll give out a hockey pick as well. Jeff's up next, and then Matt Holt to talk UFC. All that straight ahead. VSiN, Follow the Money. Paulie Howard, Matt Youmans, the Sports Betting Network. Back at it, VSiN, Follow the Money, Matthew Holt to preview the UFC card in 15 minutes. And now it's Jeff Davis from Caesars. Used to be on every week, and now we can't find the guy. We lost him. He had a kid. He took 4 weeks off from work. I don't know. And now he's finally back, director of trading. How you doing, pal? Good to talk to you.
Paulie, what's happening? Glad to be back.
Thank you. Thanks. What was the day like for you a couple of days ago when everything was coming down with the NHL about, is it the playoffs? Is it a qualifying round? What are we doing with the yes-no props?
Man, it's crazy. First of all, just really excited that a sport is coming back, nonetheless, it's hockey. So I'm completely excited. But, you know, you get your phone's going crazy because anyone you talk to in the media at all is texting you about, you know, your props, your futures, your all the things you offered. And so that it comes down and say, Bettman says the regular season is over and we're going to a 24-team playoff. So we grade the yes on the 24 teams. And then 10 minutes later, you find out that the league hasn't officially decided for record-keeping purposes whether these are playoff games or not. So we immediately ungraded them, and now they're still pending. And we haven't made an official decision what we're going to do. I mean, probably just going to wait for the league here, but we're just kind of thinking that with all these people coming back to town and all the yes money that would be graded yes that may not, we're kind of leaning toward paying 24 yeses.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, we're leaning that way, yeah.
And that, and the black, just a disaster with the Blackhawks then.
Yeah, there was as much money bet on the Blackhawks, yes, just about as all the money in the rest of the pool. I'm going to say like 40 to 45% of the money bet into the pool was bet on the Blackhawks, yes. Wow. You know, they would be out right now. And then Montreal is no good. And then in New Jersey, Columbus is no good. And these are all teams that are right on the fence. So, yeah, is it going to be a... It's probably going to be a negative for us, yeah, but we're kind of leaning toward it's the right thing to do.
Okay, what are you doing with division winners? And also, when you have a situation like this, do you call the league? Do you email them? How does this work?
No, we're going to – I made the decision last night. One of the other places in town paid the division winners as they were as the season ended, and we didn't have any stipulations on a shortened season, just kind of if a champion is crowned. So we went ahead and paid the four division winners last night they were in the standings.
Okay. Just anything with the second place teams or leaving that alone? That's a loser.
No, that's alone. And we kind of looked and made sure the points percentage was correct before we paid them. I know a lot of these teams just kind of took to Twitter to crown themselves division champions, but it's kind of interesting because if you look at the standings on various pages, it's only listed in conference form because they're clearly getting away from the divisions here. It's interesting to see what the league is actually going to decide. But yeah, we went ahead and paid the four teams that were leading the division last night.
Jeff, don't you think the leagues have, I guess almost like they should be required at this point to communicate with gaming companies when you're in deals with gaming companies, shouldn't you communicate and make a clear decision on your rulings and say, these are division winners, these are playoff teams, or these are not? Isn't that part of the responsibility when you do partnerships with gaming companies?
I would agree, Matt. Granted, these are, you know, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, times that have never happened before.
Right.
So I'm not sure that was on the league's mind first and foremost, but I think what's going to happen is, given all of the uncertainty, I would assume leagues that are coming back following the NHL may go in that path and may be a bit more clear, because as far as us bookmakers are concerned, a little bit more clarity would have been helpful.
Well, so much of this is unprecedented, you know, and you look at so many of these props, Jeff, and I was just for an example, like you have the golf major prop, right? Will so-and-so win a major this year? And you have four cracks at it. But if you look at the sheets, and I have around town, most books don't say four majors must be played for action. So you would just get three cracks at it this year. But that's just one example. There are so many ways, I guess, that this is going to change the way you write rules and the fine print in the future, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we didn't put a rule for shortened season on just because we didn't. Going forward, there's probably the stipulations that are, you know, you take time to write these stipulations to make sure that you have all your ducks in a row, and then inevitably something weird tends to happen more often than it doesn't, and, you know, you have no control over it. So, yeah. Writing stipulations is going to take up about a third of the sheet by the time this is all done.
Yeah. Do you like anything in a qualifying round?
I thought the numbers came out close enough to where, given these things aren't going to be played in August until August, we really have no idea who's going to come back, who's been working out, who hasn't. It's so many variables. No, I haven't played anything yet. I thought the Hurricanes Open maybe a little bit high. That team was incredible through about December. Dougie Hamilton got hurt. They've been kind of in a tailspin until the pandemic hit. But Dougie Hamilton figures to be back now with the playoffs starting later. Rangers, as bad as they could have been through probably the end of November, middle of December, and frankly, they were one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference the last 6 or 8 weeks. So that one interests me a little, but again, so many unknowns.
So you think it's going to be maybe early to mid-August when they come back?
Yeah, I read today that, you know, just before we came on, that supposed target date for the beginning of training camp is July 14th. You know, I find it hard to believe it's going to be less than 2 weeks. I mean, the guys are going to be wanting to get back and play. They're not going to just want to skate every day. But are we really going to be ready to play playoff hockey in 12 to 14 days from when they finally get back on the ice? I don't think so.
Yep. Great to talk to you, Jeff. Stay safe, and we'll see you soon, hopefully. Thanks, Jeff.
All right, guys. Take care.
Here you go. Jeff Davis, Director of Trading at Caesars Palace. William Hill now in Caesars, paying the division leaders, grading it as winners in the hockey. And how about that with 24 teams graded leaning, yes. And it'd be a bad loss, a tough loss with the Blackhawks, at least for Caesar, with the big result as all the money was on the Blackhawks with the yes. Matthew Holt, get his thoughts on the UFC card up next. And also what's going on in D.C. You won't believe these prices. $1.18 juice, both sides. Follow the money, Visa. Back at it, baby. UFC picks with Matthew Holt coming up. And have a good weekend out there. We expect Mitch will be back Monday, and we'll have to recap with the UFC card. And Matt joins us now, president of U.S. Integrity. How about this before we get to the UFC card? Thanks for the time, Matthew. Did you see what's going on in D.C.? Week one NFL.
Yeah.
$1.18 juice on both sides. The Eagles are minus 312 on the money line. Take back on the Redskins plus 210.
I did see that. And look, we saw that. If you remember, right when New Jersey launched, DraftKings tried to do that with baseball in the initial launch. And then the bettors sort of rioted, and that lasted all of a few hours. It'll be interesting to see how long it takes the bettors to really revolt here in Washington, D.C., and demand better pricing. At this point, part of the problem is there's not consistent sports. I think once there is, though, we're going to see the bettors push back tremendously against that, you know, extended juice.
Yeah, how about last night's NASCAR race, Matt? You talked about the D.C. Book in D.C. had 13 drivers with odds to win of plus 650 or shorter. Theoretical hold percentage on that futures board of about 70%. That's ridiculous. How can somebody force change with a product like that?
You can't. And, you know, again, I think we've seen people try to do this before. And part of it is there's such aggressive tax rates in many of these states with regulated sports betting that the tax rates are so aggressive that people are trying to make up for it with pricing. And that's just not the way to do it. If you're going to make up for those tax rates, what we've seen, even in the states like Pennsylvania that has a 36% tax rate, you have to do it through volume. You have to do it through engagement. You can't do it by trying to hold a higher percentage through mispricing.
Outrageous tax rates.
Chase Elliott
was plus 160 on that D.C. odds board last night. I think about almost 6-1 at Circa, 5 or 6-1 at some places. In Vegas, Chase Elliott won that race last night in Charlotte. All right, Paul, you want to get some UFC winners?
Absolutely. First thing, Matt, I want to start. Have you found any value and opportunities here with in-play wagering?
I have, and look, there's been a lot of big underdogs cashing. And one of the things that I think I've kind of honed in a little bit in the no fans in arenas part of UFC is fighters that throw whooping hooks and a lot of kicks and tend to have loud acoustics behind their shot, whether those punches are landing clean or not. And what hooks tend to do is land on the side of the head where it's louder instead of the chin, or land on the gloves or the arm or their elbow a lot. Same thing with kicks. They make a lot of noise. And you go back to all those contentious decisions that we saw last Saturday night where everyone was so critical of the judges. In each and every one of those contentious decisions, what we saw is the fighter throwing the louder shot, not necessarily the harder shots, because obviously Edson Barboza was throwing the more powerful shots against Dan Ige in that fight. He almost finished him in round one and round two, but at the end of the day, Ige was throwing the louder shot. Same thing with Yadong Song, same thing with Claudia Gadelha. It was the acoustics in an empty arena mean something, and I think thus what we're seeing is normal UFC pundits making these in-play prices because it's not like football. You don't see the score, so you don't know the judges' scorecards. You're assuming what the judges' scorecards would be. Edson Barboza was minus 400, I think, going into round three. And that fight, lost that fight. So there's certainly some in-play opportunities. Look out for fights where the underdog in the fight, in a close fight, is throwing the louder shot in the empty arena.
Well, you really follow it. I'm a casual fan. I know Jacksonville was a debacle with the judges. Do you think that'll go away now that we're in Nevada and back in Nevada? And how many issues? I mean, do we have a lot of scoring issues with the judges when we've been in Nevada in the past?
Well, I mean, look, Nevada is known as having some of the better judges and a better, Nevada State Athletic Commission is one of the better ones. But I'll tell you, the judges that they used in Florida were experienced guys. They had a couple of experienced guys down there. I think the acoustics in an empty arena is affecting these judges. It's much different angle than people watching on TV. I've heard from people in the arena, like guys like John Anik, who are in there saying, it sounds loud. You really hear every shot, and I wonder if that's swaying the judges.
Okay. Smaller cage now. Next three cards at Apex Arena here, Apex Center for the UFC. Any does that change your mind in handicap and any picks, any sides or totals that you like on this card tomorrow?
A little bit. I think if you were leaning towards some unders and some fight, then that helps your case a little bit more. But for me here, it didn't really affect my handicap and what I thought about the fights on this card in particular.
Okay. Can you share with some of the things you've bet or some fights that you like?
Sure. And I'll save the main event for last. It's not one of my favorite picks, but we always got to talk about the main event. But I started with the co-main event where I played Blagoy Ivanov here. And if you shop around, you could probably get even money. We've seen this thing flip favorites several times here. And if you look at Blagoy Ivanov, he's been fighting huge heavyweights, which Augusto Saki is one of those big heavyweights. And he's a big plodding power striking heavyweight. He cuts down to make the 265. He's all power punches. Ivanov, a little bit of a smaller heavyweight, but we saw in the Derek Lewis fight that chin hold up. I mean, he's fought some of the biggest heavyweights in the UFC, Ben Rothwell, Tu Tuivasa, and he's taken big shots, and his chin has held up every single fight. Ivanov's going to have the faster hands here. He has a lot of experience. He went 5-0 in the PFL, which we see on ESPN now all the time, and he's used to fighting big, giant heavyweights. That's all he's done his last four fights, which he's gone the distance each and every time. I get the better grappler. I get the faster hands. I get a chin that I know is made of iron. And at 33 years old, he's a spring chicken in the heavyweight division. I like Blagoy Ivanov here to handle Augusto Saki, who has the impressive record, but barely got by a split decision against Andre Arlovsky.
That's a double match. Lou Finocchiaro likes that as well. He's on.
Yeah.
He's on the same side as you on Ivanov in that fight, Matt.
And then I took Caitlin Chookasian, and this is really – I took it plus 130. You can get plus 130 now. Chookasian, this is one of the rarest opportunities I think I've ever seen in combat sports where you fight for the title, and then all of a sudden in your next fight, you get to fight the sibling of the champion. And that's what the situation is here for Caitlin Chookasian, who just fought for the UFC women's flyweight title against Valentina Shevchenko. We know the better one. Now she steps down in class against Antonia Shevchenko, who only has 9 professional fights despite being 35 years old, nowhere near the talent level of her younger sister, the champion. And I think the Shevchenko name is having a lot of sway on this line. I mean, Antonia Shevchenko has only had 3 UFC fights. She lost to Roxanne Modafari. And on the other side, you get a Caitlin Chookasian who's been really, really good since dropping down to 125 pounds, has wins over Alexis Davis, who fought Ronda Rousey for the bantamweight title, has wins over Irene Aldana, JoJo Calderwood. I think at the end of the day, Caitlin Chookasian is the better fighter. I thought she probably should have been a small favorite here. And I think you're going to get a super motivated fighter looking for that revenge over a Shevchenko after dropping the title in her last fight.
How about the main event, Woodley Burns?
You know, this one's interesting for me, the main event. The question in your handicapping has to start with, what does Tyron Woodley have left at 38 years old? Because fighters age, just like professional athletes age, very differently here. And we've seen guys in this age kind of start to gas and start to run out of steam here very quickly. Look at Cowboy Cerrone. And if you're in a heavyweight or light heavyweight, think of the big guys over 40 that we've seen win fights lately, Glover Teixeira, Alistair Overeem, but they're heavyweights and light heavyweights. At welterweight and lower, you don't normally see guys 38, 39, 40 years old having success at the highest level. The problem here with backing the underdog is I think that Gilbert Burns is a career lightweight moving up to welterweight. He's had a little bit of success, but it came against a 42-year-old Damon Maia in his last fight. You know, I think where the value lies in this fight is over 4.5 rounds. Look at Tyron Woodley's fights lately. Went to the distance twice with Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. You know, did get that choke out of Darren Till, who was over-aggressive in that fight. He had nothing to show to Kamaru Usman at all and dropping the title in his last fight. And he just doesn't have a lot of volume. Even in his prime, prior to the shoulder surgeries, which make you wonder if that right hand still has the sting, Tyron Woodley was a low-output fighter. And at the end of the day, you have two grapplers here. Tyron Woodley, some of the best takedown defense ever. Gilbert Burns, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu specialist with some of the best submissions. It's most likely that this fight is going to end up taking place on the feet, and you're going to have two grapplers a little uncomfortable throwing one shot at a time. I think this fight's going to look a lot like the two Stephen Wonderboy Thompson fights with a lot of low output. Probably a good thing there's not fans in attendance as they might be booing. You can get over 4.5 rounds plus 160. I think that might be where the value lies here.
Excellent breakdown, Matt. We'll talk to you again real soon. Good luck this weekend, and thanks for a few minutes. Excellent work.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Paulie. Have a great day, guys. Take care.
All right.
Matt Holt, president of U.S. Integrity. So got a couple common plays there with Lou. Lou also likes Woodley in the main event. Now, I know you said about the price, Matt, but Lou thinks there'll be support for the dog as we get closer to fight time on Saturday night. As you mentioned, a 30-cent move earlier on Woodley. The new issue of Point Spread Weekly features QB ratings from South Point Sportsbook director Chris Andrews. He's assigned point values for the differences between the starting and backup quarterbacks for all 32 teams. Sign up now and get all of VSiN's content free until a major sport returns. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up. VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up for Point Spread Weekly. And the guys did a great job. We'll talk to you on Monday. Have a good weekend. Good luck out there. Follow the money, VSiN.